Powerland.
And all the blessings and promises
rightful owners of the covenant and the scepter and the birthright, to provoke them into jealousy. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a continuous war ever since Solomon sit on the king's chair. Now, under David, we're going to prove next week, you know, some of these fancy bands and these red hot peppers, you know. Oh, boy, they come dancing on the scene, and they want to challenge you, and they want to throw their sword at you, and they want to accuse you of being this and that. But when it comes down to punch time, you know, I used to box in the ring, and it's a pretty good size. Don't look too big, but, boy, when you're getting hammered and you can't defend yourself, I mean, the three-minute rounds seem like eternity when you're getting your head beat in. And, ladies and gentlemen, you know that the Bible says that the gospel, the true, unadulterated, not the tradition, well, the Jews are God's chosen people, and God loved Judah, and Christ was a Jew, glory to God, and he came out of the house of Judah, glory to God, and they go on and on and on and on and on, just like somebody has wound them up like an eight-day clock, and they're continually hung up in the hairspring of the spring of the clock. But when they get in the ring with the revelation of truth, they get knocked out of the ring simply because the gospel will stop every mouth. Now, let me give you something to chew on here tonight. As we're going into the book of Zechariah, just like I promised, and we're going to get the fulfillment of the book of Zechariah. And now the prophet Zechariah wrote of both the physical Jerusalem, and then he wrote of another one. He wrote of a spiritual Jerusalem. Now that's two. Now there's two physical Jerusalem. We're going to tie that in between, because everybody thinks there's just one and it's a holy place, and that Jesus is going to come back to Jerusalem and he's going to sit in the temple. Huh? If you believe that, if you really believe that that's going to happen, there's going to be somebody sitting in the temple. But it's not going to be the one you call Jesus, if you're referring to the eternal creator. Now, the Bible said he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The Bible also says he's coming back with the wounds in his hands and in his legs, the wounds that they inflicted upon him in a place called Sodom, spiritually speaking. Now, physically speaking, it's over in what we call the present-day Jerusalem. Now, the place of true worship of the beginning, next week we're going to show you where the kings were anointed. It wasn't down in Jerusalem. It was somewhere else. It was up north about 40 miles, give or take a couple. And they stood by a pillar. We're going to tell you about that. We're going to go into some things in the book, in the Bibles, that has been hidden in the Bibles for generations, and we're going to reveal it to you, and reveal to you the covenantal changes of both the physical and spiritual Jerusalem. Now, in the Bible, there is a city that is seen coming down out of heaven. Now, of course, that's the spiritual Jerusalem, of course. And it's a place where that Yahweh says that he's going to dwell on the earth, not in the old Jerusalem now. You know, it's so strange. Everybody wants that I serve is not going to be in a place that they call Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, Jerusalem, the place where he was crucified, he is not going to be in that place, sitting in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Although there is a scripture related to, if you will, to a people. Now listen to me. To a people that believe that he's coming back to a place we call Jerusalem. But he ain't coming back. Jerusalem is coming down. About time it got down here. And it's about time, ladies and gentlemen, that you got blessed with the knowledge of what we're fixing to reveal to you tonight. Veil the truth of the gospel. Now the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, we mean that Yahweh and his truth will liberate you if you want to be liberated. But if you would rather, and most people would, they resist the Holy Ghost, they resist the truth, and they resist the things that Yahweh has set up for them that love and serve him. Isn't it wonderful that Yahweh is above all? He's above all. Well, isn't it wonderful that there's a place above, the place where people think that the original Jerusalem, a place of worship where Yahweh first placed his name. Now, I've got something to offer you tonight. I have a map of a satellite that was taken just a few miles up in the sky. Matter of fact, quite several. But anyway, it's a satellite. It was at one time top secret. Came from our military system, but later was declassified, and all of these pictures was released, and lo and behold, found at a place that I am promoting tonight as the place of the original Jerusalem. Up north, 40 miles north of the present day Jerusalem called Sodom. I want to repeat that tonight because, you know, I've got the devil mad, and I might as well keep him that way. Because every time he comes up in the ring and raises his head, we're gonna give him something to bob about. We're gonna give him a headshot with the truth. The present day physical city called Jerusalem is Sodom, recognized as Sodom in the heaven. And there is a new Jerusalem that is fixing to come down out of heaven. Oh my. And it's going to sit somewhere. Now, let me run this by you just a minute. Did you know that the city, like I said last night, that is called by his name. The Bible said that this city is called by the name of our Creator. Well, his name is not Jehovah. Oh, I'm sorry. A lot of Jehovah Witnesses would jump for glee if they could prove it tonight, but they can't prove it. And if it was named Jesus Jerusalem or Jesus City of Peace, a lot of the Christians would jump for joy. And if it was for the Jews, maybe the God of Chemosh, or the God let's pick out a goddess here. How about the goddess of Ashtaroth? Did you know that the Jews worshipped all these, and that Solomon was the ringleader the chief instigator of the failure to recognize Yahweh as they put him aside and built temples in this place that's called a holy city. We're going to get into it next week. Might possibly start by Saturday night, I don't know, but we got a long way to go to get there. But Monday night, for sure, we're going to get into some history, some geographical truth. And before I forget and get away from this point that I'm trying to make, I have a satellite photograph of the name of Yahweh in squash grip Hebrew. Now, this was the Aramaic. And, you know, you smart aleks that want to make fun of this. Oh, well, that's not his name. That ain't how he wrote his name. His name is Jesus, glory to God. You know, these stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked, uncircumcised heathen that worship a pagan, false name of Jesus and want to incorporate that into the thinking of tradition and deny Yahweh. Most of these churches have never heard of Yahweh. That's the original Hebrew name, and in the case of your Messiah that you call Jesus, his name was never Jesus. His name was written in squash script generations before squash script became the norm. At the time that this was written, it had to be back when the earth was created. Oh my, I get chill bumps to think that our Father declared the end, the very end. Told you about the signs and things and the denial and the rejection. Many shall come against my name. You know, when that word in the New Testament where it says, many shall come in my name, that word end, take a look at it in the Greek. Do your homework. Look at that word in, and when you go to the Strong's in the Greek, it has nothing to do with the word in my name. The actual word that should have been put there, I wonder why it was left out, many shall come against my name. Did you know of any Christian that's going to come against Jesus' name? I don't. I was a Jesus' name minister for 30 years, and I could go to the Catholic, the Methodist, I could go to the Pentecostal. Yeah, I could get in there and chair bug with them. Shundine, high five, and praise Jesus and pass the offering plate. Preaching for the love of money. And when truth comes, they'll cast it to the ground and keep on prospering, wear their big suits and, you know, the shiny shoes and flying their little jets. Oh, yeah, religion is a big-time business operation based strictly upon the tradition and the evil works of man, who would deceive the very elect if it's possible. And here we have the picture of the name, the true name. It ain't Jesus. It ain't Jehovah. It ain't Talmuz. Don't weep no more, ladies, for Talmuz, as they were doing in the 8th chapter of Ezekiel. But his name is Yahweh. It's a name that they like to forget. It's a name that most Christians have never heard of. And the Jews suppressed it. These Edomites, they didn't love his name. They didn't love him. They said, come, let us kill him. Oh, they didn't know what they were doing, Pastor Buddy. Oh, my God. You don't believe that the devil, the crafty devil, who led the rebellion from heaven, and you think he got down here all of a sudden and forgot what he came to do? The devil knows that Yahweh is God, the mighty one, the Elohim. He knows that, the El, and the Bible said he trembles. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you was fearful as the devil, if you were as informed as the devil knows who he is, and he fears him, and he trembles, but he would like to have you one. Yeah, but you know he's a Trinity. Well, we've got a Father, and we've got a Son, and we've got a Holy Ghost, and glory to God. That's three of them, Pastor Buddy. Well, how come that in the book of Isaiah it says, do I know another God? Yea, I know no other God. I don't know no other God. Isaiah 44 and 6. He don't know no other God. There ain't no other God. Is there a God beside me?
Well, there's the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Well, in this case, the Father's surrounded by two gods, one on the right and one on the left. The Godhead's divided and made a creature, not a creator. The devil says, you know, Yahweh, it is so easy to fool your people. I mean, they're as dumb as a slop bucket. Ba, ba, ba. Ba, ba, ba. No wonder I played that song tonight, especially to show you that the dumb sheep led away with the error of the wicked are so easily deceived when they can look point blank at the name of Yahweh written in square script, Aramaic, Hebrew, and his name being declared in the earth, and yet it's rejected and not used by only a few. Well, isn't that according to keeping the word of Yahweh? Straight is the way. Narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Prophet Zechariah. He wrote both of the physical Jerusalem and the new Jerusalem. One would face judgment for transgressing the law, and the other would be exalted before the world as the righteousness of God. Our Creator, Yahweh. There is so little distinction between the two in Zechariah's writing simply because our Heavenly Father only sees them as one, allegorically compared to physically Jerusalem and spiritually Jerusalem. The one at the place that they call holy is a place where he said, I'm going to destroy it. I'll bring an army against it. I'll tear down every stone that you say is the temple. And I will make it a desolation. What happened in 70 AD, ladies and gentlemen, to that holy place?
Well, God's going to fight for Jerusalem, boy. And you can be back, Lord of God. Them Jews are God's chosen people, Pastor Buddy, and you better shut up.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Between the covenant changes that most people haven't kept up with, Jerusalem abides as a shadow of the place, and the physical location is forgotten, and a place of the substitute. It wasn't where Solomon got ordained. Do you know where Solomon got ordained on the pillar? These kings, and there's still a tradition, by the way, in Scotland, in Ireland, and in the Caucasian-speaking countries that reverence this stone. It's called the Stone of Scone. Most people would call it the Stone of Scorn. They've forgotten that it's a relic that right there at Bethel, our father Jacob laid down on this marvelous stone, and he went to sleep with a rock for his pillow. And he had some of the most Satan dreams and visions as the angels of Yahweh and Yahweh himself come down as he did Abraham and Isaac. It's a tradition. That place must be holy.
But it's not down there in southern Judah.
I'm sorry. Not one time is it ever recorded that the Messiah or Yahweh ever came down and anointed anybody to give them a covenant of peace, of shalom, or Salem, in this place that is now designated as a holy place. And like I said last night, Zechariah 14:1, behold, the day cometh, saith Yahweh, that thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. Now, pay close attention to that first verse. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, Yahweh. The day of Yahweh throughout Scripture was understood to be a day of judgment and a day of vengeance. Vengeance is mine. I will repay even those which pierced him. Oh, but they didn't know what they were doing, Pastor Buddy. Those lying dogs who have got away with murder, or at least they think they have, and you dumb sheep that support them,
so well, God blinded their eyes.
That ain't what the Bible said. Nowhere in the Scriptures can you find that God blinded the eyes of the Jews. Nowhere. It ain't written in the Bible. And yet, 95% of the Christians, so-called, believe that lie. Blindness only happened to Israel. There is a people that in the earth can't see. By the love and the grace of Yahweh, he blinded the eyes of his children. Because he knew that the sheep would know him as the shepherd if he hadn't blinded their eyes. And he did this to extend the time fulfillment of the word of Yahweh. And yet the Bible says that he will cut short this time and the wheels of justice grind slowly. You see generation after generation come and go, and yet Yahweh delays his coming. And they'll say in that day, well, there ain't nothing to what you're preaching. You've been preaching that since you was a young boy. Glory to God, he ain't here yet. Well, listen, one day is 1,000 years that Yahweh could say he's coming today, and it'd be 1,000 years later. Just like he told Adam, the day that you eat this, you're going to die. He didn't die until 930 years later. 70 years short of 1,000. Fulfilling the promise, he died within that day. So you better watch. You better pray. Do not eat and drink with a drunken and say Yahweh delays his coming, because he's going to come back on the clouds of glory. Every eye shall see him, and he's coming back in flaming fire. Satan is coming peacefully. He's preparing the world right now. And I preached on the wiggle worm of the dark hole a couple of weeks ago. And in that series, I showed you that the time is here, that the day of the loosening of the snake, the wiggle worm, out of the abyss, out of the black hole, out of the dungeon where he's been bound, it's time for him to be loosed, and he's coming on the earth as a bright and a morning star. He's coming as Jesus Christ. He's going to sit in the temple of old Jerusalem, and everybody over there is now preparing it, and they are going to accept him as their God, and he is their God. I hope he's not yours. If he's yours, you've been deceived. If you are going to go up there and bow down and worship, worship him when the Bible says all the world will wonder after him except, there's an exception here, except those who know. And they shall do exploits, and Satan will get mad at them. And he'll literally wear out the saints. Get ready, not for a rapture, but for a capture, and not of the wicked, but the righteous are going to be imprisoned. They're going to be persecuted, and Satan is literally going to wear them out for their effort because they know who he is. Yahweh will open your eyes in that day, and you'll see him as he is. You'll see that through that veil of a bright and morning star, the beautiful creature that he is, you're going to see the rottenness and the stinkiness and the filth that he's the father of. You're going to see death. You're going to become a victim of being stolen. And you're going to become a victim of being destroyed. If you love Yahweh, you will do exploits, and you will describe the day of Yahweh, or the day of the Lord. It's a day of judgment and a day of vengeance, and vengeance, it belongs to Yahweh. Satan's going to come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom.
You say, what's the Antichrist?
What in the hell do you think that Satan is? Now, the word means anti-anointed. He's going to be anointed with the power given to him to deceive the whole world except those whose names are written on the Lamb's book. That's what his job is, and he's going to perform it well because all the people on the earth will wonder after him. Well, they're going to say, oh, this is the great power of God. Why, he's going to be bigger than Billy Graham. Uh-huh. Yeah, Oral Roberts. He's going to outshine on Oral. He's going to lay hands on the sick folks, and instead of faking it, he's going to perform it. You'll see miracles and signs and wonders wrought by the hand of Satan and his angels as they go forth in the earth, deceiving the inhabitants of the earth except those whose names are written. At that time, y'all was going to have to open your eyes up, because I know right now the shape you're in, most of you are still sitting in a bell box. Most of you got your brains parked in the foyer where you hung your hat, you hung your brain up there. And all sense of being guarded, be careful what you say, be careful what you hear, and be careful of, especially of what you do, because you become a victim of what you see, hear, taste, feel, and smell through the traditions of man.
Well, I've been a part of the soul no left, and I guess you'll die one.
Well, go ahead and die. If you want life, you can't lay out in the graveyard for 1,000 years and expect to have the revelation that Pastor Buddy's preaching, because the revelation I'm preaching tonight, if you believe in Yahweh, you'll never die. Better get you a big sup of that, brother. You better get down like a dog, and you better lap that up if you want to be chosen to the king.
Well, I know that when I get up in the resurrection,
my question, are you the temple of Yahweh? Is Yahweh dwelling in you, and you tell me you're going to die when he said he was the resurrection? Your physical body is the entombment or the grave of the spirit within you, and when that body dies, that's the grave that falls back to the earth and becomes part of the earth, and yet your spirit goes back right then. Don't have to wait 1,000 years or 10,000 years or 100,000 years.
My little mommy's over in the graveyard, and I took some flowers.
You just take flowers to the memory of the flesh. Her spirit's not there. Who seek you? I'm not the God of the dead. You think he'd let you lay in some old dark, foreboding graveyard for 10,000 years? Malachi writes that the coming of Yahweh to Jerusalem, as he suddenly appears in his temple, that he comes as a fire to judge.
when he appeared, voice like a refiner's fire. Now, fire's the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Spirit or the Ruach, for all you people that can't stand the word Spirit or Holy Ghost, and there's several of you out there, you've lost. Suddenly you became very Jewish.
You can't stand the word Spirit.
You know, that's an English word, and you can't stand the word Holy Ghost. That's a spook. But you want me to say Ruach. Okay, so I said Ruach. And believe it or not, on the day of Pentecost, the Ruach didn't fall upon no Jews. It only fell to the Galileans, and Yah was suddenly going to come to his temple like he did on the day of Pentecost, when suddenly there came a mighty rushing wind. And I saw cloven tongues like as a fire. He comes as a fire to judge. He's not going to dwell in an unclean temple. The Holy Ghost ain't going to come in there if you've got your mind all mixed up and you're laying down like a dumb sheep. The Holy Ghost is knowledge. But my dumb sheep are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. Who may abide in the day of coming? It's like a refiner's fire, like a fuller soap. You need to get washed, you dry dogs that think that you don't have nothing to do. Just like the Pharisees, you must be kin to them. All the people who hear the Messiah speak, they went to the river.
Oh, you don't have to do that. Oh, glory to God, I'm born from above. Glory to God.
Hallelujah, Sunday. If you want into bondage, you got to let that outward man die. And a symbol of water baptism is a watery grave. And if you don't want to be born to the water, go to hell. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. Now, everybody thinks that the earth's going to melt and just fizzle away like a piece of fat meat in a fire. That ain't going to happen. What he's talking about here, that everything that ain't full of the Holy Ghost or the refiner's fire, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fourth man walking in the fire, the fourth column I call it, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, if he's in you, the body is dead because of sin, and it needs to be redeemed and washed and filled with fervent heat or the fire, and wash with fuller soap, which is a symbol of water baptism in the name of Yahweh. You better understand the day of Yahweh, it's a judgment day, and if you don't get ready, you're waiting on that eventful day when you see the heavens grow dark. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. You know what's going to happen in the end time? You want a prophetic word from Pastor Buddy tonight?
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what's going to happen, Pastor Buddy. Man, we're going to have to live in a cave, and it's going to be nuclear war and all this stuff. Now, wait a minute. Hold it
right there. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, was there nuclear war? Don't think so. Was there famine? I don't think so. We got a famine in the land today. It ain't from eating GMO food. We got plenty of that. We got a hamburger joint on every corner, and we visit them quite often, looking at our bellies. It's not for bread or water, but for hearing the word of truth, as it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and being merry and rejoicing and making war against the righteous. That's a day of judgment. When Yahweh comes to visit you, he judges you right there.
Say, oh, man, I'll get appointed the day of judgment, Lord God.
The day of judgment begins right at your temple. It began with Solomon and all the kings that were anointed upon the anointing stone in a place of the original place of Yahweh choosing a place to put his name there. And it's readily available for you from information in the Bible, but you've got to search. Because, you see, everybody thinks now that Jerusalem is the place that he was at. That's the place he got killed. That's a Sodomite city. And it's full of them right today. That's what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why Yahweh said, and the days when he comes back, he's coming back in flaming fire, but Satan is coming back to this city because he's going to fit right in. Because not only is he perverted, not only is he the father of all evil and unrighteousness, as he compasses land and sea to make one proselyte to four more the child of hell than he was to begin with. Now let me read on here, because I ain't going to get on. I just feel like preaching tonight. I really don't know why, but I want to preach to you just a little bit. In chapter 2, Malachi, the Messiah stated that there would be nations brought against Jerusalem, and to know that the desolation of Jerusalem was nigh. Why? Has that been fulfilled? Of course it has. Well, what you keeping it around for? Because they rebuilt it back. Boy, they didn't say they destroyed Jerusalem. They just said the Romans came in and destroyed the temple. It was a place of concentrated worship. And Rome to rule over these Hebrews, not the Jews. But the Hebrews, of course, they politically allied with the house of Judah, because it was a miscegenated, perverted Sodomite people out of Genesis 38. They had miscegenated into the Cain blood, and Satan loved it. He said, "I've got enough of the blood of Judah," which was a son of Jacob, with the true bloodline of the Creator's blood. And then he got right into the act, and so he sent his daughter up there, Shua the Canaanite. And we had a problem. And the problem was that old Judah couldn't stand it. I mean, he had to go to bed that girl. And when he did, he made a tragic mistake. And the same seed that was from the blood of Judah, which was from the blood of Jacob, which was from the blood of Isaac, which was from the blood of Abraham, which was from the blood of Yahweh, two-thirds blood, just enough to mix it to make them evil and aware, and they love the chief seats, and these are the ones that Yahweh said would be the evil ones. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. When you see the abomination stand in the holy place where it ought not, where they were sacrificing down there. And you know who the sacrifice became? Him. He was the choice sacrifice. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the Jews, the evil Edomites, bloodline affiliated with both the house of Jacob and the house of Cain, merged together to form a formidable foe in the personage of those who claim to be Jews and are not, but are the children and the household of Satan. Deuteronomy 28:49, Deuteronomy 28 is the curse and blessing chapter. Comes to mind that I should quote you this. Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from fire, and from the end of the earth as swift as the eagle flieth. A nation whose tongue you do not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath Yahweh done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat or the fire of his anger? Deuteronomy 29:24. Prophetic. But when Satan comes, he's coming in peacefully. He's going to bring peace.
Peace.
There's no peace to the wicked. When they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. My, my. What about the New Jerusalem, Pastor Buddy? Well, first let me talk to you a little bit about the covenant. The reason that Yahweh would bring a nation against Israel was simple. They broke his covenant. They tore down his temple. They despised it. They wanted to be like the nations. They wanted to have kings. They wanted to have rulers. They wanted to worship Baal. They wanted to go out among the heathen and look like them. They didn't want to keep Yahweh's laws and his Sabbaths and commandments. And because that they broke his covenant, he disannulled it. Turned them over to a reprobated mind, sent them packing through the aisles in his fierce anger. And then he had second thoughts. Oh, Israel, you are my children. He couldn't stand it. He loved them so much. And he knew that the only way that he could redeem them from among the Gentiles, go not to the Gentiles, Hebrews, scattered among the Gentiles, go not to the Gentiles, but go only to the lost sheep, my sheep are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You don't even know which Jerusalem means anything to you. There's a spiritual Jerusalem, and there's a physical Jerusalem. Most people are tied and traditionally obligated to, I mean, they give their IT to go over there right now, because it was a place at Yahweh. But they wouldn't walk 2 miles to hear a preacher like myself preach about the man and his plan. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a way that seemeth right, but the Bible says it is the way of death. Turn from your wicked ways. Come out here, my people. Yahweh will send armies to fight against Jerusalem. Yahweh will send armies to fight against Jerusalem. Which one? Did he not send the Romans, these swift eagles, that's a symbol of their power? Did he not send them in 70 AD? He said, the time is coming in your generation that there won't be one stone left down here at this place that they all worship and call holy. It's strange that it took Herod, the Edomite, the Canaanite, from the house of Judah, as he had mixed his blood, gained the position of authority, and he, in his splendor, built him a house first, and he built it upon the hill where he could see down on top of the temple. He could actually see the sacrifices. He could actually see the money changers as they changed money. Of course, he taxed he leveled a tax against the temple there, making him a lot of money. It took him 46 years to build it. How do you think they got it built? They taxed the very Israelites who had been lied to and made to believe that this was the house of Yahweh. I know them that say they're Jews and are not, but are liars. Convincing the Christians. Even convincing themselves. Yeah, the Bible said they will go about deceived and deceiving. I mean, when they go out, they're deceived, and they really believe what they're talking. No, they've got a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the revelation of the word. They will not come to the light because their deeds are evil. And when you preach this revelation, that his name is Yahweh above every name, they'll cast your name out as evil. Now, if you come preaching Jesus or any other God, I come to you in the name of my Father. What was his Father's name? 7,000 times approximately.
Well, his name was Jesus.
Well, his name was Jehovah. Well,
his name was Word.
Die, humbug. You deceivers, and have been deceived. You have a form of godliness. You zealously try to promote your doctrine when you read right over the Hebrew text.
Well, I'm not a Hebrew, so I'm not responsible.
Neither was you responsible for the scribes who changed the text. But you're like a dumb sheep. You wouldn't wake up if you were told, because you wouldn't believe it. Because once you see something in writing, you think that that's God's word. Like the scribes who said, who's going to be born over here in Bethlehem, Judea, glory to God. And when all of the time, he was born 40 mile, probably about 50 mile, north of the place that they call holy. Rachel's grave is not in Bethlehem, Judea. I proved that. Geographically speaking, Bethel was the chosen place. Not Judah. But in the territory of Joseph, he was the one that inherited the birthright. And I dare beg, try to persuade, tempt, or taunt. You say, I don't believe, man. Glory to God. Well, I'm out of the school of Elijah. Elijah said, hey, you prophets cry a little louder. Go ahead. Where's your God at today? Well, he must be on vacation. Is he over in the sunny Riviera? Is he sunbathing with Ashtoreth, the goddess? I mean, he literally made fun of him from daylight to dark. Well, he lit up the sky when he poured the water. I mean, that, you talk about gasoline. He got him 12 barrels full. Man, he dug him a trench and he poured that water in there and he set it afire with the Holy Ghost. Consuming fire. And the people said, Yahweh! Yahweh is our God! What have we been sitting over here in Bell's church for? That's what you're going to say. When the revelation comes, well, we've been asleep. Why didn't you wake us up? Why didn't you tell us? And the Bible said we popped to you, but you wouldn't dance. You killed the prophets. You hewed them down and killed them all day long. And even so now, you speak evil. Man, I had a brother call me from Louisiana today. And did he ever bless my socks? I felt so much fire in his voice. I mean, he encouraged me. He laid a blessing and a half on me. I'm telling you, he got me all fired up to preach this message I'm preaching tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to render the scripture that it fits appropriately with the place that Yahweh chose at Shechem to be his place anointed. And to be at the home place where he anointed it through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there he made a covenant. And then we go into the book of Kings. And we're going to the book of Chronicles. And we see the tragic end results of Israel when she clamored for a king. Wanted to be like the heathen nations round about, where the offered up strange fire. They've worshipped other gods. Even the proposed to be the wisest man on the earth. And he built more pagan temples, even to goddess, and he erected them in Jerusalem. Oh, but it's always any Pastor Buddy. Don't tell us about that. We don't want to hear that. Talk about the Jews going back to the homeland. Tell us something good like John Hagee does. Write us a book. We love to be tickled. Tickle our ears, Pastor Buddy. Tell us something. Make us believe it. Come on. We want to hear it. We don't want to hear this truth. Okay. Well, my heavens, I preach myself out of time. I've got to get off here, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to Pastor Buddy. I'm all stirred up tonight. Praise Yahweh. I'll be back Friday night. I'll be off tomorrow night. But I'll be back Friday night with the Shepherd's Call at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And I'll be there. I'll be in here, ladies and gentlemen, at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time with the part four. It's part four. All thy comes the sheep. Come on, sheepy. Let's go. Let's go to the real Jerusalem. It's coming out. I love you tonight. Call me. Here it goes. 4-2-3.